It's something some people do in their everyday lives to grow crops and feed their families. If you know anything about gardening, planting seeds, you know there are steps to planting the perfect crop. You have to, one, select your seed. Two, you have to get the seed mix. The mixture is important because it provides a sterile and textured environment. This environment allows new seeds to germinate and for the young seedlings to establish a strong root system. Then you have to choose what you're going to plant the seed in. The location is important because it determines the essential resources a plant needs to grow, such as sunlight, water, and soil nutrients, the right environment to keep our pests and disease, keep out pests and diseases. You have to fill up your tray, your pot, your ground, whatever it is that you're going to fill your soil with. Then last, you have to water them. Some plants require daily watering, some even twice a day, especially in hot conditions or when the seedlings are in strong light. Choosing the location for your seeds to get the proper sunlight and nourishments is important because we have to take the factors of the temperature, light, water, and the soil quality, the growth and overall health of the plant. But what if I told you that planting your spiritual seed would take the same steps? All you have to do is have faith. Spiritual seed planting is sharing truth and living in a godly way, introducing others to God's word. I forgot to pray, so let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing me to be your vessel. God, I ask that you hide me behind the cross, remove me of me, and fill me with you. Thank you for those who are coming and those who are on their way. I pray for traveling grace. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. The seed is the word of God or the teaching of the kingdom. Jesus was the sower who scattered the seed. The soil is the different kinds of hearts and attitudes of the people who hear the word. Jesus taught us in the parable of the seed sower in Matthew 13, 3-9, Amplified Version. He told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen carefully. A sower went out to sow seeds in his field. And as he sowed, some seed fell beside the road between the fields, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. At once, they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and thorns came up and choked them out. Other seed fell on good soil and yielded grain, some 100 times as much as was sown, some 60 times as much, and some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear and heed my words." The farmer was a sower whose seed fell on different types of grounds. So the first ground that it fell on was the hard ground. You have the word of God or the gospel falling on a person with a hardened heart who fails to receive or understand it. The passage tells us the birds ate it before it could take root. When we are in the flesh, it's equivalent to the birds eating the seeds before it has rooted because we allow Satan or the enemy to snatch everything away while trying to hear God and fully understand his will for us. It's like when we use the term, you want your cake and eat it too. You basically want the best of both worlds. So you can't only serve God when you want to and then serve Satan whenever you want to. How can your seed grow if you're only allowing it to be nourished one day out of the week? On Sundays when we find ourselves in a bind, should not be the only days we allow our plants to be watered. You can't go days without water or the proper nourishment, which is prayer and studying the word, and only doing it on your time. Before I started this walk for real, I was the one falling on hard ground. I would come to church on Sundays when I did come, and by Monday back to what was feeding my flesh, or when hell hit and it would be, God, could you get me out of this one? I won't do it again. And there I was doing it again. But in Psalms 1:1-2, it says, "Blessed are the man who walks in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat." This verse is basically highlighting the importance of choosing the right and avoiding negative influence. It's telling us about the goods and the nourishment of God's word. It implies we need God's nourishment all throughout the day, like continually meditating on God's word because we delight in it. Psalms 19 and Psalm 119 describes it. It's like our food. It's like our souls. It's our feast on a daily basis. Then if you go to Joshua 1 and 8, this book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall read and meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything in accordance with all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will be successful. So every day we should be in our word. We should be taking in what the nourishment is that God has given us. And when we wake up, we have to be in prayer, go straight into prayer as soon as we wake up, and throughout the day, pray, read our Bibles. It's easy to get caught up in what feeds our flesh. That's why we must keep ourselves away from the things that will ultimately allow our flesh to win. I know we are all human, and we have thoughts. However, if we know it's something we're not supposed to be a part of, why do we keep doing it? Especially if you are no longer babes in Christ. When I first started this walk, the enemy was for real and would try to do any and everything to set me off. And to be honest, I was in some true mess. Feeding my flesh felt good at the moment, but that's exactly what it was, a moment, then it's gone. But in Mark 8 through 6, it tells us, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Excuse me. But when I got in my word, that's what started feeding me, because I was learning to stand in my word, and prayer became my everyday seeds. Number two is the rocky ground. That's the seed that sprouts but will perish because there's no root. When talking about rocky ground, people receive the word, but when things seem to go bad or not their way, they fall away because their faith isn't rooted deeply. Seed on rocky ground represents people who initially receive the joy but also lack deep root and fall away when faced with trials or persecution. Jesus' explanation in the context of the parable is that these individuals are those who hear the word and receive it with joy, but have no root in themselves. In Matthew 13, 31 through 32, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of the garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make nests in the branches. He tells us something so small can grow into something big and provide us, which is by spreading the gospel. That is why it's important to listen for God's voice, especially when we are on the walk, when we're on this walk. The enemy is like a roaring lion. We must be alert and have sober minds at all times. Then he spoke about, in the parable, the thorny grounds. And that seed, too, will be perished because the thorns will take them out. When on the ground of thorns, the word is received with joy until trouble or pressure comes. They fall away because their faith isn't rooted deeply. Excuse me. In Matthew 13 and 22, and the ones whom seed was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the worries and distractions of the world and the deceitfulness, the superficial pleasures and the delight of riches choke the word, and it yields no fruit. This is someone who hears the word of God but allows worldly concerns and deceitfulness of wealth choke out their growth, making it become unfruitful. You cannot allow the cares of the world, like the worry and believing in money and possessions, that satisfy your flesh other than what God is satisfying you with. You have to go and ask God in prayer to show you what it is that is choking out your faith and what is making your fruit unfruitful. Then you must shift your focus back to God by seeking his kingdom, prioritizing your prayer, getting in your word, and replacing the worldly distractions with God's disciplines. Just like the gardeners remove the thorns so plants can grow, you must remove anything that is cluttering your spiritual growth. Some examples, social media is a lot for a lot of us. Sometimes I find myself giving social media more time than I give God. But once I go into prayer and ask God to remove me and any distractions that is around me, then immediately I know to go into my word, go into prayer, and do what it is that is pleasing him and not the world. Sometimes we, as people, find ourselves around people who are not of God, or I guess you could say in a toxic environment, it is our duty to either plant that seed or remove ourselves away from what we know is not of God. Surround yourself with believers who keep you accountable. The Bible tells us in John 15:5, fruitfulness comes from abiding in Christ. We all fallen, but we have to get up and keep pressing on. Then the last one was when we planting on the good soil, God spoke on how the seed grew 30, 60, and 100 times sown. That means we hear the word, understand the word, and hold on to it. But most importantly, we live it out spiritually, growing regardless of what life may throw at us. The seed that fell on good soil represents individuals who hear, understand, and accept the word of God, allowing it to take root and bear fruit in their lives. This signifies a positive reception of the message, leading to spiritual growth and productive life, often described as a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. The breakdown of the good soil symbolizes the seed represents the word of God, the message of the kingdom. The sower can be Jesus or anyone spreading the gospel. So we should be out winning people to Christ daily, taking up our cross daily, hiding behind the cross daily, bringing everybody who we know that is not on the walk that we are on, that should be our ultimate goal, is to bring them to Christ. The soil represents the human heart and the capacity to receive and respond to the message. And the good soil signifies a heart that is open, receptive, and willing to embrace the word of God, leading to spiritual growth and fruitfulness. The harvest symbolizes the positive impact and transformation that occurs in the lives of those who receive the word of God and live it out. Spiritual growth takes time. The deeper the root, which is our faith, and understanding, the stronger we become to endure trials. When growing to be the seed God has called us to be, we have to be disciples that are spreading the word daily, winning others to Christ, also meaning taking up our cross, as I said. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:6, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. Paul planted the seed, introducing people to Christ in the true gospel. Apollos came and taught and gave encouragement and helped the believers grow in understanding. So in today's world, we have to be the Paul and the Apollos who water and teach the word so it can grow. When Paul said Apollos water, he was telling us that water was what was nurturing and growing the faith already started. When we are the seeds God has planted us to be, we have to stay nourished just like the plants that we grow. Our nourishment comes from his word. The Bible has a solution to what it is we face in hard times, but we have to open it daily so that we can receive what it is that is being important to us. Not only does it nourish us, it feeds our souls and gives us the meat. The seed doesn't grow overnight. Sometimes it doesn't fully grow the right way the first time around. So when we fall, it's not the falling, it's the getting back up. Whenever we fall short of what it is that God is calling us to do, we have to get back up and keep pushing. It might not work out the first time around. It may take a few tries to actually get it right. But once we get into it and we grow in his image, we must continue our routine daily. We must listen to what it is Holy Spirit has given us. Spiritual fruit comes from planting, which also comes from nurturing, by encouraging people, teaching people, and praying and living godly. Growing without planting is impossible. You can't grow what hasn't been sown. So my question to you is, are you the seed God is calling you to be? And that's all I have. God, I thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for hiding me behind the cross. Thank you for allowing